Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Meta, that was your record right there. You recording any records these days? Where are we at with your music?
Yeah, I'm not recording music these days. I have, being from Queensbridge, you know, Nas, who's probably the greatest hip-hop artist ever, over Pac, over Jay-Z, over Biggie, over anybody that ever existed in hip-hop. And being that that's where Nas is from, you know, he inspired me. When I used to be on the block, I grew up on Mobb Deep block. So all the songs that you heard, you know, I was actually in that era. I actually could probably point to something. I don't want to talk about too much, but, you know, Nas, you know, he just inspired me so much. And I always wanted to be like Nas. And so in his honor, I did some music, but I wasn't able to focus on it because I was playing basketball. If I had 100% of my time to focus on music, I would have had classics, I believe, because my inspiration was like in front of me every day.
You friendly with Nas? You still stay in touch with him at all?
Yeah, Nas is like, you know, Nas is like our version of Jordan. You know, like when we see Jordan, we still love Jordan, even though I competed and accidentally broke Jordan's ribs with a really good fierce match in the summertime. But Nas is that same type of thing. Like, I look up to Nas how I look up to Jordan. So, and it's kind of unfortunate because he grew up in a neighborhood where everybody, you know, was always asking, not asking like money all the time, but just wanting his time.
Yeah, for sure. It's the way it is. I remember reading an article on you. It may have been in ESPN, the magazine, back in the day where, you know, your rookie year, you had like 25, 30 people on the payroll. And it,
no.
It really, like, haircut, like, maybe the article was wrong, but you don't remember that?
Yeah, they asked me to do a picture and then said it was a payroll. Like, why would you ask me to take a picture with my friends and say everyone's on the payroll? Like, my dad wasn't even on the payroll. My mom was there. She wasn't even on the payroll. Like, I had a barber who I just maybe got a haircut.
Okay.
And he got my payroll.
Okay, so they did you a little dirty. I got you.
I'm going to have a payroll of 25 people with $500,000 after tax.
I hear you. That's why I was a little worried for you when I read it, but it's all worked out. And you know, Meta, by the way, we're going to jump around a little bit, have some. This is awesome.
Yeah, no worries. Great.
Yeah, and the Queensbridge roots, man, as deep and as tough as any in the area. And really, basketball's changed in the city. I know you went to LaSalle. You mentioned that before. Obviously, stayed home, played for the Johnnies. But, like, you pass the park. Do you see kids balling anymore? Do you see the same love for basketball in the parks and in the streets like it was when you were coming up?
It's really depressing. It's sad. I did a red carpet at a Showtime, the New York City Point Guards press conference. And I specifically talked about this and about this problem. You know, I used that time to talk about the pot. Now, it didn't go viral, but there's an issue with gentrification that when gentrification first started, it was taking away the fabric of New York City basketball. Because imagine when there, you know, people are saying, turn down the music. Mm-hmm. I'm like, turn down the music in a street ball game? Sorry, you're not from here, right?
Yeah.
You know, you can't tell us, like, enjoy the music, actually, and wake up. It's 9 a.m., all right? And you know, so from that perspective, the fabric of New York City basketball, that's something else that I want to address and accomplish in New York City, bringing it back. And what people got to understand is street ball in New York City, it needs to have a lobbyist, because some people are taking advantage of the fact that there's not a real voice. There's not a strong voice in New York City. And we got to really, we can't let it slide, right?
Where is the voice? I mean, I know Mully's been out west forever. Marbury was in China. You know, Felipe's doing his thing for the Johnnies and for the NBA. But where is the voice? There's always been a voice. What happened?
Well, I think because before we were just organic. It was just street ball, basketball. We played, no issues. But then there became issues. They started closing the parks. Yeah. And just because maybe there's some issues going on in the park, like, I think that's the time to bring out where the police should come out and protect the parks, protect the players. Because when you're talking about 9 p.m. park closes, well, when I grew up, I was playing at 2 a.m. I was outside at 2 a.m. That didn't exist for quite some time in New York City. So from that perspective, you need somebody that's going to give effort. If you're not thinking about, oh, the importance of New York City basketball, if it's not important at the highest levels where you can say the park is closed, then you're going to have this issue we have now.
You know, I was bothered for this for 25 years with the Knicks not taking you in the first round, but I'm even more annoyed now after talking to you, Mehta. What was the reason those knuckleheads didn't select you?
It was my fault.
Why?
Let me tell you, it was my fault. I'm going to tell you why. So I was confident I was going to the Knicks. I was just, this is going to happen. I told my agent, please, I was projected to go top 10. I said, agent, please, this is, let me help you go to the Knicks. So he was trying to work it out. He did. It got me to 15. I missed the practice. The first practice with the Knicks I missed. I was actually partying in Flamingos the night before. I got really hammered. So as I was in the bed, I told him I was throwing up and then I threw up that night, but I was so hungover the next morning. I told my agent, I said, listen, this is a real story. You know, I gotta be honest.
Yeah.
I said, listen, I cannot get out the bed. Can I come back and do this one over? And then they said yes, and I think like that might have turned them off. I think they might have got scared of.
I can't blame them.
Oh.
But I was more excited because like you know I'm young, and I'm like this is easy. We out partying. I'm gonna miss practice tomorrow, but I'm not worried about it because there's nobody better than me anyway. So my mindset was probably not you know, but you know I probably could have handled it differently.
Yep.
But I still didn't think that was enough to just like not pick me.
Well, but there was...
They could have overlooked it. Nah,
I would have overlooked it. You could have missed 9 workouts in a row. Man, we didn't get Weiss. That's stiff. So, but here's the other thing, too. Missing, and I think you mean team workout, not practice, like team workout, right? Is that what you mean? Like a...
Team workout, pre-workout.
Gotcha. I thought you meant that.
Draft workout.
But the other thing, Mehta, and you know this, man, because you matured, you're a grown man now, you're not 18, 19, you've seen the world, come on, and you've learned a lot, and you're a different person. Back then... You were just wildly unpredictable, and people yes. were afraid of you, man.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I was wildly unpredictable. I think also alcohol was a problem for me. Not everybody, but for me, as alcohol is a depressant, if it's a killer, it's not.
Yeah.
But, you know, some, and then if you don't understand that, and then, you know, you also don't have control over your life, I can see why. I could definitely see why. That's why I wanted to be honest. I didn't want to make it like, oh, I'm the victim here. I'm not the victim. You know, I initiated the reason why, I think. But I still think that's why in my situation, I can coach people like myself. I'm not too worried about it.
Did you ever try to get back with the Knicks when Phil Jackson was the president? You had a relationship with
him? I've always tried to get back to him. I almost came back to the Knicks. I was always trying to make it back to New York.
Under Phil?
Yes, everybody.
But Phil specifically, because you played under Phil Jackson, I'm assuming you had a relationship with him, when he was running things into the ground here at the Garden, maybe there was an opportunity for you there. No, nothing with Phil Jackson specifically?
Well, you got to understand, sometimes like if Carmelo's available, right, you got to think about it. That's the priority, right? So it's just timing. Sometimes it wasn't the right time, but when I had my pockets of opportunity, the Knicks was always like first, unless like I played with the Pacers, so at some point in time, you know, I'm not even thinking about the Knicks. I'm thinking about the Pacers. But when I had those windows of opportunities, I almost made it back to the Knicks in 2010, actually, right before I got the championship with the Lakers. I almost made it. That was my year to come back. Almost did it.
What happened?
I didn't think things I can't really talk about, but it was things that happened with my connections that I had a connection and then things happened. I don't really want to bring it back up.
I got you.
But, it was something that happened. An agent, or are you talking about a former player?
I don't really want to get this hints out there because it's going to be a story that we don't really want to hear. It's not, you know what I mean? But from that perspective, I had a window of opportunity and I was excited. By the way, I was almost a Knick in my prime. I just want people to know. Almost a Knick in my prime. But it's okay. You know, it's okay. You just never give up. And guess what? Ernie Grunfeld, without Ernie, I don't know if I was a Knick in 2000. I think that was 15 or 16. So thank you, Mr. Grunfeld.
Yeah, we like Ernie's one of us from Queens,
late,
no doubt.
Too late at that point. I mean, yeah, you get to put on a Knicks jersey.
Yeah, it was too late.
I got
it
to put on a Knicks jersey. Incredible.
Yeah, but it's too late to Sal's point. For we wanted to put it on earlier.
What about the 15?
I know, I was horrible.
hey, Mehta, do me a favor. I'm sure a lot of people will enjoy this. Give us a little story, Sal. Check this out. So, you know how it wasn't like this in the 70s or 80s, but in the early 90s and obviously now is when AAU...
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Basketball exploded, almost in a lot of ways more important than high school, as crazy as it sounds. And Meta's team at Riverside, you played with Lamar. This was their summer team, dude. Lamar Odom, Elton Brand, Eric Barkley, Ron Meta. So, what? I mean, who the hell beat you? Did you ever lose a game with that team?
We did lose one game against Baron Davis' team. We lost against Baron's team, but we came back and beat them by 20 in the championship.
What was the team like, man? That must have been sick.
Baron was really good, and he got another story. I'm actually giving us more credit, so he'll tell you another version of the story.
Yeah.
Basically, he wasn't at the game that we beat them.
Really?
But we beat the team. We beat that same team. Baron had to go somewhere.
Yeah. Do you still talk to those guys, Lamar? And obviously, Barkley played at St. John's. You still love Elton? You still talk to those guys or no?
Just every now and then. Elton's obviously general manager of the Sixers. Then you got Eric Barkley. He's getting into coaching and basketball camps. And we actually need to support Eric Barkley more in New York City. And then Lamar, every now and then I speak to Lamar. Lamar's doing some things, got his life back in order.
Good.
You know, every now and then, me and Baron, I live in L.A., so me and Baron always, we always chop it up.
Meta, back to the Knicks for a second as it pertains to their team and their roster. Do you think you can win a championship with Jalen Brunson, you know, an undersized star point guard?
Yes.
Why?
He's a generational mentality. Not many people has his mentality. Not many people want to come to the Garden. Right. Carmelo Anthony, at a time where everybody was avoiding the Garden, not Ron Artest. I wanted to come for the fan scrutiny and the media scrutiny. I love it. I love it. But Carmelo came to the Garden and showed out. Brunson is showing out. That's hard to do in New York City. We know this, guys. Not everybody's built.
Yeah.
People didn't even come. If you're talking about some of the greatest players ever. And I don't want to say just not only the greatest players ever, because we know LeBron's the greatest.
LeBron's number two. MJ's the greatest.
Better than Michael.
Come on, man. Come on.
I'm just saying,
man.
Like, in general, like, some of the greatest players of our era did not come to the Knicks when they could have. That shows you who Jalen Brunson is. On top of that, taking less money, you know, so that's where it gets frustrating for me, because even when I wasn't the best of the best, I was locking down the best. I was winning. It was points in time where you had all-stars in the East. They wasn't better than our teams. So from that perspective, you got people who want to come to New York.
Yeah.
That's why Jalen's a different mentality.
He's a killer, man.
Avery Johnson's smaller than Jalen Brunson.
Nah, Avery from the Spurs. No, he's our killer, and we love him. We got to get a little more around them. What is your opinion on I don't mean how they get along. I'm sure they get along fine, but on court relationship, do you think that OG and Bridges, 35, 40 minutes a pop on the court together, does that work the way it's supposed to?
I mean, I think I'm not going to say it doesn't work, but I do believe in playing more people. I'm just going to say that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, everything else will work out itself, because sometimes, you know, you could be looking at the surface of it and saying, oh, this is what I see. These guys are not playing well, but maybe they needed a little rest. Maybe we needed to add another combination in there. There's many different things you can do, but I haven't analyzed those two as much.
Well, Meta, I'm surprised, because, you know, when you played and when everything was good in your life, you were, you know, 40-minute a game guy. I would think that you would almost have a limited bench. You're telling me that you would kind of go the opposite and maybe stretch things out a little bit, huh?
Well, it just depends on the circumstance. I've been on teams where it was an 8-man rotation.
Yeah.
But, you know, for me, because I don't really care about my field goal percentage. So for me, I'm a hustle and dive on the floor. I don't care if I don't have legs, right, to make a shot. So that's why I could play so long, because I was still denying, I was boxing out. You know, I was balancing the floor on a full court defense. Also, a lot of people take that for granted, balancing the floor on defense, not just in half court, but for fast breaks. You know, to be able to stop a fast break, you know, in its track, you know, and then so things like that where I wasn't conserving no energy.
BT and Sal on the Fan. We're talking about Meta World Peace. A couple more before we let you go. Really do appreciate your time. It's been fun catching up with you here. If you were to get the Knicks job, Meta, what would you do with Rick Brunson, who's currently the top assistant?
I think that those type of comments might be too early to comment on because I'm not there yet. I definitely don't want to shoot myself in the foot. Mm-hmm. I haven't analyzed anything. Now, keep in mind, as a head coach, I do know what type of staff that I would present because you have to work with the front office. I haven't really analyzed any way about anybody.
Even though he's the superstar's father? You know, you get Jalen Brunson, the superstar player of the team. His father is the top assistant. That's going to be tricky for a new head coach.
Yeah, but, you know, sometimes you got to be political, and I would have to be political at this point.
I'll take the job. If you want me to hire, keep him, sure. That's fine.
And then once I'm here, I'll change things up if I have to. Hey, you know what I always wanted to ask you, man? So, I mean, I've seen, whether it's documentaries, obviously the mouths, the pals, but not just that, where I have heard grown men, I mean physically imposing, strong men say, I was afraid of that guy. I'm pretty sure I know the answer to this, but did you fear anybody at all, ever, on a basketball court, at all?
Well, no, and you know, it came from a place, you know, when Lloyd Newton from Long Island City High School, when he died on the basketball court with a bunch of other players from Queensbridge, like, you know, it really messed up our psyche, you know, and so many things happened on the court where I was kind of traumatized playing on the court. I always was on edge because I always felt like I had to protect myself. And the bad thing about that is it was a gift and a curse because what made me great, I had no control over. Yeah. As a young player. So in my mind, I'm a really great kid, you know, but on the court, just something else just ticks, you know, from that perspective. Then I had to, that's why I was doing so much therapy because I needed to gain control over that piece. But I think a lot of the trauma growing up, like we was 12 years old, we was playing in Far Rock, 12 years old. At the free throw line, we was playing hard in someone else's territory. Then our player got hit over the head with a 40-ounce OE bottle.
Oh, my God.
You know? And
I believe it.
You got to think about it. Yeah. We're 11 years old in Far Rock.
Yeah. Tough neighborhood, you know? Man.
So there was no protection.
Yep.
At some point in time, you develop this, you know, kind of the scab for any fear. Yeah. Like, you know, and you are always like, imagine, you know, if you see a lion, and you get a little too close, you know what I mean? And I needed to, I wasn't happy.
Yeah.
This is why I wanted to retire at 23 years old. Because I'm like, I'm not enjoying the game, which I actually put my papers in for retirement at 23 years
old. You had to straighten out your mind, man. You had
it was a lot.
Dude.
Do you ever
a lot going on, yeah. Family. I had my baby at 16. And then I took it out on the game that loved me. Took it out on the game. So I totally understand. You know, why people was like, you know, I got to be arm's length with this guy. And, you know, I can control what I can control.
I'm hearing stability and accountability from you, Meta, and it is refreshing. But I wonder if you think you'll ever be able to change the perception that has either been created by some of your actions or that some people right. have in their mind, whether it's the brawl, the name changing, which seems to be either unique thought or unstable thought. Do you think you'll ever change the perception of what many view Meta World Peace as?
I think you got to focus on winning. You know, I think that's the focus on life because look at from a political perspective, you know, whether you're a Democrat or Republican, can you change the perception? You know, whether you're, you know, a great coach or a bad coach, you know, some fans is going to have a perception, you know, whether you're Floyd Mayweather and, you know, people want to see you get that loss. And then, so I think and as human beings, I think you still try to improve the world. You try to improve people's quality, try to bring good energy. But if you're in a moment or in a dark moment or a moment in your life, you know, recognize it, notice it, and move on. Because if you spend your life worrying about what someone else thinks of you, you could be spending that time on somewhere else. So for me, I'm just focused on winning in life and then winning a title as a head coach in basketball.
This was awesome having you on, man. Because, you know, if you're old enough to remember you coming up the ranks, I am, Sal is, wow. If you're a little younger, you hear a mature Meta. Just really, I didn't really know where this was going. I don't know if any of us knew where it was going. I think I speak for everybody. This was fantastic, man. Thank you for coming on. Always rooting for you. Johnny's always in the house. And listen, we'll be following the Knicks coaching search, buddy.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Good luck to the Knicks, by the way. Hopefully it's me.
Hey, and Meta, next time you're in town, come by the studios, hang out.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Get back into that LeBron Jordan debate with you in studio.
Oh, we got to do that. Let's do it. And then also, I think SGA is better than Michael Jordan at times, but we can save that.
He's dropping bombs over here. Let's not get nuts,
man. What about Halliburton? He overrated? Halliburton's overrated, isn't he, Ron?
I'm not going to get into that, but what I am going to say is probably...
throw us a name. Hey. Don't make fans a bone. We need it.
Hey, what I am going to say, he's really clutch.
That's true. He disappears for 30 minutes, then he shows up and does his job. I got you.
Can't dispute that. Meta, thank you so much for your time, man.
Thanks,
we appreciate it. Best of luck.
All right.
Man.
That was fun.
Dude, the story, like, I know we got a break, but and I can't relate. I could relate to probably a lot more than I can't even remotely relate to the story he said about being a Far Rock, which is, by the way, a tough neighbor because I know Rock.
I know what
well.
You're saying. Queensbridge, like I know about that from Nas.
Dude, it's...
Listening to Nas' record, so...
It's you wake up over your shoulder every day.
Yeah.
And to be playing basketball at 11, 12 years old, and to get smashed over the head with a bottle, the 40-year-old E, I mean, that's just something, that's different. And I'm not saying that that's directly why Ron, or then Ron was, I think there were some true mental things that he had to take hold of, medically.
Yeah.
And he has. But to hear him now... was phenomenal.
Sounds great.
I'm so happy for him. And I knew he was going to sound good because I followed him. But it's easy to, like, you know, he's not really around St. John's. He's not in the NBA. He sounds awesome.
That was one of my favorite interviews ever.
That was fantastic.
We laugh it off and are like, oh, come on. And maybe it's not realistic. But, man, I'll tell you, BT, after talking to him, I'm not saying that I would hire him for this Knicks job.
Mm-hmm.
But I certainly would consider. I don't know why. He never got an opportunity to get back in, whether it's the collegiate level, as an assistant at the NBA level. He talked about, you know, not caring if he had to coach women. He prefers doing that to a certain extent.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe the WNBA. Come on, he's Ron. He's got a big name, at least, Meta World Peace.
Yeah.
And he sounds like he's definitely evolved.
There's great self-awareness.
Yes.
He knows. He knows what he was, and he knows who he knows what he did, and he owns it. I mean, that's the only thing you could do. Something came up, like, I don't know if you asked him, I think you did, where, like, how do you change everybody's perception?
Yes,
it was definitely,
yeah,
it was a good question, a very good question. And I'm sitting to myself, of course, I'm going to let him answer it, but I'm saying, it's not about changing everybody's opinion. You're not going to. You get a job, and then you change some people's opinions, and then if you do the right thing over time, you could change, eventually, everybody's opinion.
Right, I guess the part of why I was saying it is because I believe the perception is what's preventing him from getting opportunities for however many years.
100%.
But yet, if you take the time to talk, my perception of him was, oh,
mm-hmm.
buckle up. Who the hell knows we're going to get ourselves into here with Ron Artest coming on?
Yep.
You have no idea. Malice at the Palace, name changes.
Yeah,
he says some things that sometimes, you know, are so out there so people don't. But yet, you talk to him, and he's a guy that's been honest, accountable,
mm-hmm.
matured, evolved. Like, there's a lot of things there, working his rear end off, talking about, this is what I would do, this is what I command in every aspect of life. It's about winning. Here's what I did wrong. Like, there are many appealing things to hearing him speak that would make me want to hire him to coach young basketball players, male, female, whatever level, or collegiate level, or even the pros.
I know he's not necessarily looking, or shouldn't say, I shouldn't say I know. I would think that this is not what he's looking for. He wants to coach a Knick, so he doesn't want to coach high school. But, I mean, you put Ron, you put Meta, pardon me, in a school in a tough neighborhood that is down, and that is how you elevate. You get somebody like Meta who's been there in the streets, in the middle of, I'm sure, more than half of his boys were either unfortunately in jail or shot or killed. Or I mean, that's how he grew up. And now that he's past that, so past that, I think it'd be a great asset, a great tool for, you know, for younger people. He's one of my favorites, man. I knew it wouldn't be off the rails because I know how hard he's worked on his mind. So I knew that he had evolved past the wild child that maybe some people had the imagery of him going haymaker, you know, throwing haymakers mm-hmm. at the palace. I knew we weren't getting that. But he is even a little more. I didn't know he was coaching the girls.
Yeah.
So that shows
Learned
me he's even a little
there.
More serious. Not looking to go from A to Z. He's trying to take some steps there. I love the guy.
Yeah.
I always have.
And I wouldn't minimize that. Like some people say, oh, it's Division II. Eh, bull crap.
So what?
He's coaching. That's
yeah.
the point.
Yeah.
I'm thinking he's sitting on his couch or doing whatever he's doing
mm-hmm.
and not coaching because he just wants to go right to the top. That is not necessarily the case. So you find out not only is he coaching Division II women right now, but also that he tried to get back in his words, many times. He referenced the Hornets or the Fever or St. John's or the Knicks. Like, nobody gave him an opportunity at all.
I got to say, he was one of the scariest figures walking the planet as an athlete. Like, it wasn't like he
made... I wanted him to be a Knick.
I know. Oh, God. It wasn't like he made one mistake, like a crime, and everything else was fairly spotless. Like, you know, Ron Artest needs medicine to function. And he scares a lot of people. And that's how I would answer how he hasn't gotten the chance. That's really it.
You know this about the medicine stuff? Like, that's been reported?
He's talked about it openly. Okay, yeah. Oh, you know, his battles. Whether it's multiple. I don't know if it was.
Well, you mentioned depression and had him having an issue with alcohol.
For sure. And he was, I don't know if it was multiple personalities, but he's been afflicted with things that he's been very open about, which I think has helped facilitate his change and his growth and his awakening. By all accounts, Ron Artest should be dead. He should be dead.
Well, thank God he's not.
I know, but that's a tribute to him.
And thank goodness of how far along he's come. I couldn't help but in my mind, as I'm listening to Artest and we're talking to him, compare him to Jason Kidd. Now, obviously, the resume as far as head coaching goes, there is no competition. Jason Kidd has been a head coach, whether it's the Nets, the Bucks, obviously the Mavs, whatever. And the rapport with the players, you know, with Brunson, I'm sure Kidd has a, you know, great relationship where maybe Brunson and Artest don't even really know each other,
mm-hmm.
right? Artest said himself he has no relationship with Leon Rose. Or the
yeah, he did say that. Yep.
So we know that Kidd's got the experience there. If we had Jason Kidd on for 40 minutes, you think it's anywhere near the type of openness, honesty, accountability? You think it's anywhere near what we just heard from Meta World Peace?
My answer is no, but there's also a couple reasons there. Number one, Jason Kidd doesn't have to be as transparent.
I know, but still, there's something about that.
I agree. It's refreshing, and I love that he's able to do it, but Jason Kidd doesn't have to go on a contextualization tour. He doesn't have to contextualize his life like Ron does. Ron Artest, to get hired.
Jason Kidd's had some issues in his life.
I know he has. I'm not saying he doesn't have to answer any questions, but Ron Artest, to get the job, the meaningful job that he wants, he has got to look people in the eye and own the mistakes and the 20-year reputation that he earned, quite frankly, and he did that with
Remember
us.
Remember I was telling you, while I think Jason Kidd, he would be my second choice behind Van Gundy,
mm-hmm.
and while I think it's the most likely choice and one that would add up in what their thinking is, right? Like, okay, you're going to move on from Tibbs, you better have a home run hire. Jason Kidd would seem to be that. I also said that there's something about Kidd that just rubs me the wrong way.
Yeah.
I would be willing to say that Ron Artest is a better person than Jason Kidd. Now, what does that mean as far as being a head coach? Maybe nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like Artest, all that he's experienced in his life,
yep.
all the adversity, all the failures, where he's come out of it, this end, the accountability, I don't know. Kidd may not have had to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if he's as good of, again, people focus on the head coach and all this stuff, but.
No, there's some things in Jay Kidd's past as well.
We don't need to go over the detail, but if I'm choosing a person, I would choose Meta World Peace over Jason Kidd.
I would agree with that at this point. I think that that's fair. I think that there's just, when you go through really, really bad stuff and then everybody knows about it, you'd have to think that it's so cathartic. Like, if you could actually cross the bridge to get to the point of introspection and like really really changing who you are, it's got to free you up. So Ron Artest, like, you hear a guy now, Meta, you hear a guy who I don't think he's carrying any weights around right now. He's just free of burden, and he knows where he's been. And more importantly, he's happy where he is. How about this? I'll give you a perfect scenario for you. I'll meet you halfway in between. How about Van Gundy is the head coach, and Meta as like his second assistant.
Sign me up.
I mean,
what, are you kidding me?
You know?
All right, we'll come back. We'll finish up on the phones. I also want to ask you a question about the Mets, something that pertains to my show tonight on Baseball Night New York. I want to get your opinion on a decision that I have to make when it comes to the Mets all-time roster. We've been doing this segment on Baseball Night in New York where we're doing the Mets quarter century team.
Okay.
Last week or 2 weeks ago, we did the infield. Today, we're going to be doing the outfielders. So the
quarter century.
Best three outfielders of the last 25 years. So from 2000 on. So
Beltran's in center.
Okay. There's two easy ones, and I wanted your opinion on the third one. See if you could get the second one.
You're not going to count Soto yet, right?
No.
Okay.
No, but honestly, I brought that up on the trainer at home with one of the producers. I go, dude, like, is it nuts for me to go Soto? I would go Soto, but we're going based off of their production.
Okay, gotcha. I know Gilkey had some good years. That was before that. That was
96,
in the 90s.
Yeah,
okay, so I'm just kind of going let me see. Wright, Piazza. I'm just thinking of their best players recently. Obviously, Pete.
It's thin, Reyes, dude. The outfield is thin.
Yeah, I know it's thin. Todd Hundley, even though he couldn't catch, he was in the 90s. He was late 90s, right? The home runs. Yep. Not late 90s, a little bit before that. All right, so Beltran.
There's one more obvious.
I know there's an obvious one, and it's bothering me that I'm missing it. 2015 World Conforto?
No, but
who am I missing from?
Cespedes.
Oh, that's right. You're right. When they got when he traded for him, no doubt.
Yeah, now you could look over, like, I'm just going based off of memory and impact. He's got to be on there, but as far as longevity goes, like, he certainly wasn't.
No, but that trade catapulted the Mets to a place they're not going without him. So Beltran, Cespedes, do you have the third, or are you trying to settle on the third?
No, I'm trying to settle on the third, so I want to give you three
options.
Names. You brought up Conforto.
Yep.
He would be one.
Yep.
Brandon Nimmo.
Okay.
And Curtis Granderson. Dude.
I mean, that's pretty thin, bro.
That's why I'm going to push for Soto. I mean, you look at the nut, like,
God.
Conforto had three good years.
Yeah, I know.
Granderson had
two?
Three okay years with the Mets.
Yeah. Nimmo's disappointing now.
But he's been the long term. I mean, I might have to go, if I have to pick.
I'd probably go Nimmo.
I might go Conforto. And I think about some of the others, like Agbayani, Jay Payton,
good God Almighty.
Moises Alou.
Come on.
Angel Pagan.
Wait, Marte doesn't cut it?
He might. Actually, he might. He had a great year in, 2022? Yeah.
His first year was pretty good, right? By the way, what was the infield? I mean, I'm sure I could guess, but give me around the horn.
It was Lindor.
Pete at first?
Yeah, and the only options there were really Delgado.
Okay.
Now, I could have gone Reyes, but Lindor.
Mm-hmm. You could put Reyes in second because he played second when they got Kaz Matsui.
It was Piazza catcher.
Yep.
Alonso first, Lindor short, Wright third, and I went Alfonso at second.
Alfonso's got to be at second. Fonzie was good.
You could make an argument for Murphy, and the reason why is Fonzie's best years were really 99, like 98, 99, 2000.
I hear
so really beyond 2000.
Yeah.
And then if you compare that to what Murphy did in the postseason, I think it was a more debatable thing.
He went bonkers. That's a technicality. Like, I think Fonzie, I think, really, really good Met.
Yeah.
But now, based on the century, a couple of his best years were before that.
So the quarter century team.
Yeah, Murphy might be a little more consideration there.
Pete or Delgado?
I would go Pete.
Okay, and Lindor, Reyes. Different players.
I mean, if you asked me this a year ago, I probably would say Reyes.
Yeah.
It's Lindor now.
Lindor.
It's Lindor now.
Yeah. I love Jose, but...
No, I don't even flinch now, but a year ago?
All right, so
if we're sitting here in 2024 like we were, and, you know, what is he hitting at this point? 210?
Yeah, right.
He didn't get off to a good start.
Yeah.
So I may have said Reyes.
Hoff, what about your vote for the outfield? It's got to be Cespedes, Beltran. Would you go Conforto, Granderson, Nimmo, or other?
He hates Nimmo.
I would never go with Conforto.
Nimmo. Yeah, okay. So, when they were bringing up the names, I'm like, ah, Conforto. And I loved Conforto.
Me
he
too.
Was a terrible disappointment.
I liked him.
Granderson?
Beltran.
No, it's Beltran.
It's the first one we said.
He's cutting up the interview, probably.
You know,
Beltran, Cespedes are the two. You've got to pick one more. I'm pushing for Soto. So half a year of Soto. Now, if Soto was off to a hot start, he would be on the list definitively. Mm-hmm. I'd fight tooth and nail.
Even though that he's not off to a hot start, the other names, he probably still merits some more consideration.
Come on.
All right, so this is going on tonight. You guys are doing this on BBNY?
Yeah. BNNY, yes.
What did I say?
Yeah, BBNY. Everybody does that. It's okay.
My bad.
BBNY.
Who is on the panel with you tonight?
I think it's Duquette.
Okay.
Adam Ottavino.
Okay. So you got a good little.
Pardon me, I forget who the other.
I got you. You got some good.
Dan
picks,
Grosso
right?
will be on tonight.
Okay, so you've got.
But it's my list. I'm making the list, and then they.
Well, that's
react
what I'm saying. So
it.
You do whatever the hell you want. Put Soto on there.
You know,
you missed Mike Cameron.
Yeah, Mike Cameron, Michael Kadire.
Michael Kadire.
One of the greats.
Let me get this straight, though. You can walk out on the SNY set wearing a robe with trumpets blaring,
and
you can't say Soto on the show tonight.
I can, but is it? It's kind of crazy to
Who
think,
cares?
Okay, well, you got to have the impact over the last quarter century. Which three outfielders have had the biggest impact in the last quarter century?
Well, I have one.
But based
I have
on
one.
Go ahead, Hoffy. Go ahead.
Michael Baxter.
All right, man. He's just messing around. He's a clown now. Come on, Michael Baxter.
I mean, he was part of
F-Mark going to make the team. Yeah.
No, but Baxter caught the ball, ran into the wall, broke his shoulder, and the Johan no-hitter.
What about Lastings Millage? When did he pop up?
Yeah, late 90s? Before that, 06.
Wow. And
he never played a no-hitter, so.
Yeah.
He'd no-hit some games.
Well, he'd be a hero now.
Remember he was slapping the fans high five after he went yard when he was going back out to the outfield?
He made it like he was a villain, the poor guy.
I know. I defended him on that, on the wheelhouse when that came up. I'm like, what the poor he do? He's actually interacting with the fans. Leave him alone.
Potentially ruined his career.
That was a bad moment for Millage.
You know who had a major issue with that?
Who?
Willie.
Well, Willie got to get over it. I mean, I love Willie's my guy, but
hey,
Willie tapped the brakes.
I got some bones to pick with Willie. I know your boys with Willie.
I love Willie.
I wonder if he's going to be out at the Joe Torre Golf Outing.
He will. He always is, but I won't be there. I'm off that week.
You're 100% not on?
Yeah.
All right, I take it down myself. Willie, let's go. Well, sorry.
You know. You can't tag out if he starts beating you up.
Yeah. I've been sitting on this for 20 years. All right.
And what is your biggest gripe with Willie? Just so I know.
My biggest gripe is that he would bunt with LaDuca when Reyes was on first base. Why?
Just send
you
him?
Have Jose. Yes. The guy steals 70 bases a year. Why would you bunt and sacrifice an out?
Right, how many times did he do it?
Three? Enough to where I'm annoyed with it.
Can you check out how many sacrifice bunts LaDuca had?
And then the Millage stuff bothered me too.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.